It's Barely in Topic, a podcast for Boston Bruins fans by Boston Bruins fans.
Welcome to Barely in Topic, a podcast for Boston Bruins fans by Boston Bruins fans. I am VA, and I am here with Jeff.
Ahoy, hoy.
Nick.
Hello.
And King Tim of House Richardson, first of his name.
Hardy ho.
Tim, is your reign too great, too hard right now?
I'm just tired. It's been a long week and a half or so, I'm just tired.
Okay. Well, you know, doing all that monarching is hard.
It is, very much so.
So last week, guys, we put out the perfect 15 minutes of podcast for us. And it was spectacular. I haven't heard anybody say anything about it, but I know, we all know that it was spectacular. I think that we should all have a round of applause for that. It was just as much fun listening to it while trying to edit it as it was when it was happening, because it was chaos. And I love a little bit of chaos anyway. So, but here we are this week. I think we're all a little more subdued. Nick's already told us he's tired because he's the youngest of all of us, and he's feeling...
discovered he's in his mid-30s.
Yes, it's true.
Yeah, so it's a rough day when you suddenly find that. Yeah.
It's the lack of sleep now takes a week or I think it's gonna take me a week to recover. And when I play
in a couple of years, it all blends together. There is no recovering, so there's no real feeling it anymore.
Well, that's an upside.
I'm assuming that's what happens to the back pain in a few years, which I'm kind of looking forward to, because lately it's been a bit rough in the morning.
Ooh.
Yeah. Oh, wow, Jeff. Wow. Ooh. Yeah. You're going to hit a milestone this year.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm not saying what it is. I'm just like, ooh, ooh, ooh. Anyway. You know what? After a while, you just wake up tired.
I was 30 when we started this show.
I know. How young was Nick and Tim?
Yeah.
I guess. I don't know.
Like 24, 25?
Probably. How old are you now, Nick?
I'm 34. I turned 35 in July.
Okay, so I would have, if he was 25, I would have been like 27.
Oh, wow. I was old. I was already past 40.
My brother turns 30. My younger brother. My only brother. When I turn 30, big deal. When I'm just discovered I'm in my mid-30s today, not a big deal. My brother turning 30, my younger brother turning 30, that's a big deal.
Yeah,
that's a big deal. Mm-hmm.
Oh, shit. My sister turns 30 this year.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck. I didn't realize that until just now.
Oh, it's happening to you too, Tim.
Damn.
My oldest nephew
mm-hmm.
is a month or so, about 6 weeks older than Andrew Ferentz.
Oh.
So that would make him 44.
I remember when Ferentz was in his mid-30s.
I'm sorry. I can't. Yeah. I can't not.
He's your boy. He's all right. Boy. Yeah.
Oh man.
Chara was 33 when you won the cup.
Oh my god.
Mm-hmm.
Both of and
as he celebrated his 57th. His 57th. The 47th the other day, right?
Yeah. 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 47.
47 and running marathons like every week. Seriously. You know, he's going to be doing the Boston Marathon in a couple of weeks. He's just doing marathons after marathons after marathons. Berge was like, hey, come skate with us some Friday, you know? And he's like, I will if you come and run some marathons. And Berge's like, I ain't running marathons.
No.
No, I mean, it's fun seeing Berge in commercials for sales now during like Behind the Bee or whatever it is that it is. He's doing these commercials. There's kind of like a goofy side of Patrice, and it's really wonderful to see. He's living the life. Like I've said before, he's playing tennis with Tuca on Mondays and he's skating with Razor and Tuca on Fridays, you know. And on the hockey show, they have people calling in all the time talking about Bergeron coming back. And everybody, Ty Anderson's like, no, when he talks about skating with the guys, they're not doing real skating. They're like, the goalies aren't in pads. But anyway, like, yeah, to think about Chara, he's like 47 now. So we all get older. It is the constant march of time. And welcome to the Feeling Old Club, Nick.
Yeah, someone, I think maybe I said this on this podcast, but they brought it up again with me yesterday when we were hanging out. They're like, Nick, your beard's getting gray. On the podcast listeners, you can't see it. Thankfully, the camera hides the gray beard actually quite well. But in person,
it no longer hides mine at this point. The gray has officially taken the taken the field.
But I think it looks great. I seriously mean that. I'm not. I know we joke a lot around, but no, it looks great.
Yeah.
My dad looks great. He's completely silver. I'm pretty sure I said this last week, but it's still on my mind.
Well, you know, I mean, look, part of being old is repeating things.
Oh, my God.
And we're all good for repeating things. But another thing is, like, look, you can choose to look at gray hair in your beard or your head of hair as being like you're losing your youth and I'm no longer young. Or you could look at it as like this is the prize that you get for getting older and getting wiser, hopefully, and enjoying it being fulfilled in your life or fulfilling your life. So that's how I look at it. Yes, we're old. Our listeners are getting older. Everybody's getting older. This is the one thing that we share in common other than being Boston Bruins fans. So here we are. We should be talking about the Boston Bruins. And indeed, they're getting older too, but let's not talk about that. So
good week for the team. Good last 7 days.
We were last here, of course, they just had that whatever the fuck that was against the goddamn Blues.
Yep. Yeah. And we really didn't even talk about it, and we don't need to. It was bad.
Yeah.
You know, like look, our team is gonna be bad at times, it's gonna have bad games. It's okay, but it hurts against the Blues because 2019.
Yes. Yeah. So. Meanwhile, they scored 14 goals in their last three games.
Yeah, including six last night.
and six against the Flyers.
I unfortunately didn't get to see that game, but I can't wait for you guys to tell me about it.
That game was certainly something.
Torts was fresh off the suspension, which the owner of the team paid for.
I mean, like, when's the last time a coach got suspended and the ownership didn't pay for the team? I feel like Carolina set a precedent there.
I know, but Philly and Torts, man.
It really is a match made in stinky garbage heaven.
Well, exactly. He was exactly the wrong coach for when they hired him in their in that team story arc. But it was also a match that was guaranteed to happen. It was just a matter of when.
Yeah.
I think he has the right attitude for being down in Philly. He really does.
But he's not the right coach for this for where they are in their story arc, right? Like his whole thing is squeezing all sorts out of points out of dog shit. Like that's not what you want to be or what you want when you're in Philly situation.
Embrace the rebuild.
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah, they're doing a lot better this year than they planned on doing. So,
I mean, but then again, that also didn't, you know, dissuade Embraer from doing the smart thing and, you know, capitalizing on Walker there having a killer season, right? You know, got a first out of that.
Mm-hmm.
Which, considering he took him on as a cap dump, is pretty rad. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
It's actually almost as impressive as Kent Hughes managing to get two firsts out of taking on boring Sean Monahan. So he got a first to take him, and then he got a first to offload him. That's some expert level work.
And he used to be an agent.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, thanks to that Twitter account, I can't ever think of Sean Monahan as anything but boring Sean Monahan. And I guess he's having a pretty decent season after having a lot of injuries, but I still never think about him. Never.
He's probably a very entertaining, fun guy, and his charity work is probably fantastic.
His charity work is probably fantastic, but yeah. You know, when he introduced the people touring his apartment to his toaster, pretty much thinking not the most interesting guy.
That's real.
That was real.
I thought that was like a meme. I thought it was a joke.
No. They were doing like a Flames Cribs kind of thing, right? So, and he was sharing an apartment with someone, and he was like, "This is our toaster." I mean, I did just show you a Japanese toilet, so, but
yeah,
I thought you had to see it. I mean,
I've never seen one in the States.
Nope, but now you have. Yeah. You'll have to just come up and visit Nick, because there's
maybe he likes toast.
You know what? I bet you he likes toast, but he likes it with nothing on it. Just plain. Like, he's always sick.
Well, that's disappointing.
Yeah. I mean, what would you do with toast? Tell me what you would do with toast.
Either butter or peanut butter.
Yep. I agree with both of those. Those are things I would do. Or butter and jelly. I like that.
Strawberry jelly.
This thing, I don't do butter if I'm going to put jelly on the toast. It seems redundant to me. If it's going to be jelly, it's just jelly on the toast.
Well, I mean, I don't usually do it too much anymore. What I used to do, that was what I was taught, but I can just do it with jelly too. Hear me out. Cinnamon sugar. Butter and cinnamon sugar. Oh yeah.
That just brought back.
That's optimal on an English muffin, to be honest.
Okay. Well, now I'm just sad that I didn't give my sister-in-law that this morning. I could have made her day.
See, I think if I wanted something sweet on my toast, I'd rather go jelly just because I like the fruit flavor.
Mm-hmm.
And if I'm going to go like sweet on my toast, it's apple jelly. I like the apple jelly on there.
Ooh. Interesting.
I can get a strawberry rhubarb jelly here, and really I just can't do others anymore.
I do a raspberry spreadable fruit. Or a raspberry jam. I don't really like jelly that much, but I like that.
I mean, it's not jelly. It's
it's preserved. Right, yeah. Right. Yeah. We use jelly as just the catch-all term.
Yes.
Right. So,
I mean, the nice thing about it too, no pectin in it, because you don't need to put pectin in something that has rhubarb in it, because it's like all pectin.
It's pectin, right.
So I've cut out bread from my diet because I'm in my mid-30s and carbs make me gain weight. But back when I ate bread, and yes, I am aware of my bagel association.
Oh, my God.
Okay, if you buy me bagels, I'm going to eat them. But do I buy bagels for myself anymore? No. But no, yeah, I'm a fan of everything we've just mentioned.
Believe it.
I know, my life's I'm a lie. I'm a sham. I'm not the bagel Bruin. I'm just Nick the guy.
I'm at that stage in my life where it's like, I have to keep track of the fiber I have. And so you can kind of like subtract your fiber from your net carbs or your gross carbs to get some net carbs action there. So anyway, I'm old. Well, we know that.
I'm sure that Japanese toilet knows how much fiber you've been having.
I haven't run any diagnostic tests.
Okay, okay.
But anyway, the Bruins. So
yeah.
This week they had some, they did play a team that has a logo that looks like a toilet seat.
Yes, I mean, yes they do.
Team is just generally a toilet.
It is. It has always been. It always will be. Because it's always a glorious day to hate the Habs.
It is.
Do you know how many times I said that to myself during that game? A lot. And I'm like, and I kind of said, "Glorious day to have to do." Like I kind of said, like, "Oh, it's like, it's just, look at that cute little dog. Glorious day to hate the Habs."
I really, really, I mean, if I had known better, I should have been just saying that all day to everybody I met. So that game, the score was pretty close. Obviously, they went into overtime.
Yep. Yeah, Danton Heinen scored it at 4:49 in the first. His 12th goal of the season.
Good job, Danton Heinen.
Indeed. Of course, the Habs turned around and scored before the end of the period. Nick Suzuki, nothing really happened for the rest of regulation.
Nope. Some calls back and forth and stuff, but...
And Jake DeBrusk made rather short work of overtime.
How many seconds was it?
Over 25. The big take-home point here is they won an overtime game.
Yes. It's so hard to do for them. And they finally did it.
Because they have an almost impossible 15 overtime losses this season, right? Like,
yeah, we Tim and I talked about that the other week. We were just sitting there like, if you added 15 points to that, they would have, at that point, it would have been over 100. But if you took this 15 points away, they would have been down where, who was it? The Red Wings were or something like that?
I think I saw something that the Bruins are on track to be the only team ever to have more overtime losses than regulation losses, if this holds.
That's a pretty cool stat.
I mean, there's 12 more games, the 14 regulation losses, 15 OT losses. I'm not holding my breath, but that would be fascinating if so.
Yeah.
It also raises some questions about how extraordinarily fake that first in the that first in the East is. But anyway,
Yeah. But you know, this is a good year for that because everybody is kind of, how should I say this? Everybody's kind of in that same boat.
Yeah, I don't really understand what's going on in this conference this year. It's just sort of, everyone's just sort of running in mud.
Yeah. There's no clear-cut team that's definitely, like, gonna win the cup. It could be anybody.
Yeah, I mean, I would almost say the top 10 teams, if any of them win.
Really, no, like the only, honestly, the only teams that I wouldn't hold my breath in are whatever, you know, are whatever teams managed to back into the wild card spots in the East are really the only, because like, honestly, well, for starters, that wild card two spots, basically like the inverse crabs in a bucket situation.
Mm.
No one wants to be the crab to climb out, apparently.
I've got to take a look at the standings. I haven't taken a look at them in the last couple of days. Yeah, so wild card, we have Tampa Bay and no, stop that. And
Tampa's looks like Tampa's probably fairly safe in their position there. But
Detroit is not.
No, they have
two games.
Caps have two games in hand on them and are only 1 point behind.
Yeah, well, Detroit's been sliding, right? This month they've had a terrible month.
And the Isles are in range, and oh, look at that. They're similar. They have they still have more losses than OT losses. Actually, that's this is why, like, the NHL scoring system stuff is stupid. It's like, oh, the Islanders have a points percentage of 0.537. Really, they have 29 wins, and if you combine the two kinds of losses, they have 39 losses.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think they really need to do a three-point system. 3 points for a win.
Two, 3, 2, 1, 0. Yeah.
Yep. Yep. Exactly. So I know that right now they're having the meetings down in wherever, Florida or something. And they're talking about doing something about 3-on-3 overtime because they don't like how it's a possession thing. And it's like, I think the 3-on-3 overtime's fine.
Just start dropping dog penalties for skating backwards into your own goddamn zone.
I guess it wouldn't be a delay of game. I don't know. I love 3-on-3 overtime. I hope
it blows the play dead, and or it blows the play dead. No penalty, whatever, you know.
I think stoppage. Would be yeah.
Doesn't even have to have like icing style rules. It's just like, no, you do that, the whistle blows, like, and then the face off is actually, and then the face off is in your own zone. You fucked up.
Yeah.
Yep. I mean, I don't really have a problem with any of that stuff, honestly, because I really do believe in the idea that, you know what, you should have won the game in regulation.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be a cry pissy baby.
Well, and that's why the 3-2-1 has value, right? Because now it's like, okay, yes, you go to overtime, you're guaranteed a point, but if you win in regulation, you're getting 3.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Which means like, oh, I can always win in overtime or they'll shoot at us. Well, yes, you can, but you're not going to get as many points for it.
Right.
Just like I really hate the new overtime rules in football. I have no idea what they are. I know that both teams need to have possession at least once. And I'm like, I don't care about that. You should have won the game in regulation.
That's really the only thing. Unless the first team scores a touchdown.
But I'm just like, I don't need all of these stipulations. Just win the game in regulation. And then, oh my God, if you don't get the ball, that's too fucking bad. You know, I'm really a sudden death queen where it's like, you know, it's just like, you know, you need to win it in regulation. You should not be falling back on overtime. So anyway,
college football has the superior overtime rules anyway for football.
It's because they're so bizarre, but it makes sense.
Yeah, exactly. Each team gets a series from like the 30-yard line or something.
Mm-hmm.
And then so that happens and you're able to kick the extra point if you get a touchdown. If it goes to a second overtime, you can't kick an extra point. You have to go for 2. And then after that, if it goes to 3 overtimes and beyond, they just go back and forth and swap off 2-point conversions.
Yeah.
Until a team misses.
And I've been to some awesome college football games in overtime. All of them I take that back. Wake has won 1 and lost 1.
It's all electric. It's usually electric too. Everyone, they're high scoring games.
Mm-hmm.
People are having fun. It's electric.
I did see something that there was some debate about testing in the ECHL 7-minute 5-on-5 overtime, which like, okay, it prevents the fucking shootout, but it doesn't fix the, you guys just freaking diddling themselves instead of playing the damn puck in third in 3-on-3.
Maybe I love everything about 3-on-3 overtime.
Until the coaches figured out how to kill it, which is where we are.
Oh yeah, you mentioned it. You just pass it back if there's nothing available, but you could do 4-on-4 for a longer amount of time.
Goalie on goalie overtime. That's it. First goalie to score wins.
I love it. I don't think it's going to ever work.
<love it. laughs> 5-on-5, no goalies. Whoever scores the most goals in the five minutes.
Hey, used to play NHL 2K on the Sega Dreamcast like that. And it was so much fun.
But you had to shoot it from the red line, the center red line, right? Yeah.
No, we didn't. I mean, the way we played it on Sega Dreamcast, everyone was 99 overall, first of all.
Okay.
So they could like snipe from the back line. So you had to learn how to block shots. But we had games that were like, we did it all game, me and my friend Noah. But yeah, it was like basketball scores. 98-82.
Oh, God. How about if we just have the goalies come out and fight, and whichever goalie wins, that's the team that wins.
I see nothing wrong with that.
Last one left standing. That's the win.
Battle Royale.
Let's go. Because you know Jeremy Swayman wants to do that. Which is fun.
Sticks are in play.
Bam. So,
I mean, Jacob Trouba only got fined $5,000 for trying to take off Trent Frederick's head. So I say, sure, why not?
Swayman's desire to get in a fight, I appreciate because he's upfront and honest about it. Unlike Binnington, who will act like he wants to fight, but then absolutely turtle when it comes to actually fighting. Or he'll act like he wants to fight when there's no opportunity to do so.
Yeah, he'd rather take cheap shots at guys as he's going by them.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's a dick. Complete and utter dick. We know that. Anyway, so Bruins got past the Habs in a close game for the most part. Tell me about this Philadelphia game because I did not get to see it. I really want to hear all about it.
It was annoying.
Oh.
To me, anyway, just because it shouldn't have been as close as it was.
Well, I mean, it was a ceremony game. And we know that the Bruins have trouble after ceremony games.
Yeah, unfortunately, the individual being ceremonialized did not factor into any of the large amount of scoring. JVR has been having a rough time lately.
Mm. Yeah.
Bruins give up the first goal, but get it back by the end of the period. Geeky, cool, from DeBrusque and Wotherspoon.
Geeky was a pretty good pickup, huh?
Seriously, like, A, I don't understand why the hell Seattle didn't qualify him, and then two, and there must have been competition to sign him. Like, that was because that seems like a pretty, like, you know, easy to compete with contract he was given.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not like the Bruins had an option to bid more.
I guess what happened in Seattle, they just didn't know how to deploy him.
Dude, that's bad. How bad of a coach do you have to be?
Well, it's Hextall.
That's all right.
I mean, it's, yeah. Right,
I love that's all I needed to say.
Yeah. Good point, yes.
I hope working for Hextall doesn't ruin Jay Leach, because, like...
He's his own man, I hope. Right.
Anyway, so yeah, okay. Second period again, two goals. Bruins give up the first one. Joel Farabee from Cam York and Owen Tippett.
Fucking Farabee, always a Bruins killer.
Yeah, but soon after on a power play, Charlie Coyle gets it back from Brad and Zacha.
Coyle's having a great year.
So we go into the third, and this is where things got weird.
I love it when things get weird.
So in the first 4:04 of the game, of the period, the Bruins have seagulls from Coyle, from Beecher.
Ooh, Johnny Beecher. Beach is back.
Yeah.
His only job is Beach.
Again, honestly, I mean, he's been playing left wing, been playing more left wing than center on that fourth line, but like Beecher, Boqvist, Brazeau is a... It's pretty rad, actually. Like, honestly, we have a lot of we got a lot of potential fourth line permutations right now, and I don't hate any of them. And I like Jacob Lauko, but he's drawing the short straw here.
Somebody's gonna have to get scratched, and if you called up Petrie, you have to use him, right?
Yeah. What makes the question is that, like, okay, if Maroon ends up being available for the playoffs, there's no way they. On the one hand, you can't really justify taking Brazeau out. They're not building a line with both Brazeau and Maroon on it, though.
Yeah.
No, but Brazeau is useful. Very useful.
But that was more along the lines that they're not putting two people that slow on the same line.
It's pretty obvious. Maroon ain't playing for this team.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to play.
Yeah.
No, that change on his recovery times, this isn't happening now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they decided to tell him to stop skating right now. And it might be part of the thinking might be like, let's slow down that part.
And don't you dare be ready to be back in before the end of the regular season because we can't make it work.
That too.
But also, like, look at it. Brazeau has hands.
And we knew this, but like honestly, like everything else about his game is much, much better than advertised.
Yep.
Except, well, even just getting better than advertised, but that's not saying much.
Can he get down the ice? Is he in the right
eventually.
area? Then his skating is fine. You're probably not going to put him out there for, for breakaway situations, but Did you
Oh
see
God,
that?
I'm just picturing like a 20 round shootout, and you end up with Brizo out there. It's just like that would be like your classic Frederick Modine shootout. One of the first ever shootouts. It went to like 14 rounds. Frederick Modine goes out there. Well, actually, no, I'm not talking. No. It's the first ever shootout of all after the thing, and Jason Allison goes out there and takes like 40 minutes to get down the ice.
Well, to be fair, at that stage of Jason Allison's career, no offense, Tim. No, I know that's one of your boys. That's probably his top speed.
It's faster than I could go. Whatever speed it is, it's faster than Tom Brady could go.
Oh my God, yeah.
He famously ran like a 5.240. Not very fast at all. In fact, it was like he deked, what was his name? That one, Brian Urlacher once. And it was like everybody was like, oh my God, did you just see that move? That guy's not fast. Like Brady's not fast, and he deked this guy.
He ran the 40 at the combine this year, and it was actually under five.
Who, Brady?
Yeah.
Huh.
They did it just to see, I guess, just to see how he did would do, see if he could beat his time from when he was at the combine all those years ago, and he
He
did
did by
beat it.
2.2, yeah. Well, he must be drinking the blood of young men or young boys.
Maybe. He does own the Raiders now, so
Okay.
they raid and pillage.
Oh,
So,
true.
I was
right.
gonna say it's like, is there something I didn't know about here? Like what?
I know, they raid and pillage. It's a thing.
Anyway, so after that Beecher goal,
Woohoo! My only job is beach.
19 seconds later,
Uh-oh.
Jake DeBrusk scores.
Oh, nice.
And somehow at this point, Torts doesn't pull their goaltender. Now, mind you, Flyers don't actually have a starting goaltender right now on account of, their guy kind of being charged with a gang rape.
Yeah, I used to feel bad for Carter Hart, and
Not
now I
anymore.
just,
Yeah.
yeah,
No.
now he deserves everything that he's gonna get.
Yeah. Anyway, so insert goaltender here, whoever their goalie was. I don't even know or care.
Airson?
No, I don't think it was the other guy. This
Oh,
game,
Peterson?
no,
Some guy?
and
Some guy.
Dude McGuy, yeah,
Okay.
Felix Sandstrom. That's
Oh.
totally a real person.
Oh, okay. Sure. Is it?
Anyway, so yay, great, great, great. Bruins are just absolutely taking over this period. Cool. 10 minutes, nothing much happens, and then things happen.
Oh no.
Nick Delorier, in his first goal of the season.
Of course.
All right. And it's not like he's, some call-up. No, he's been a full-timer, and he was his first goal of the season. Unassisted, no less, on a wraparound. Wasn't a good look. And then a minute and 2 seconds later, Morgan Frost, on a between-the-leg shot. Again, not a good look. Scores as well. Okay, so crap. There goes a significant portion of that big lead opened up down to a, I can't even get down to a one goal game, but Danton Heinen scores a goal off of a Frederick assist. Cool. Two goal leads. And then less than a minute after that, Joel Farabee
Ah,
again.
that guy again.
Now the Bruins managed to not fuck things up in the remaining 2 minutes and 4 seconds of the game.
Because that is a
Fortunately.
problem. That is a problem.
Especially when you've already, now squandered a 3 goal lead, and then recovered it back to two and squandered it again. So, but they did win. They did win. It was a bit of a shitnado, but they won.
Good. I'm glad that they won. Glad that
My
Denton Heinen scored two. Yes.
dad stopped watching that game when the Bruins were up by three. He's like, oh, I can go to bed now.
No, you can never do that.
Yeah.
Not safely.
He also turned on the Habs game. He, I think, had to work late. And he's like, oh, the game's in overtime. Cool. He turned it on. And he said he watched it for about 3 seconds, and then the Bruins scored. He's like, what? All right, time to go to bed. Like,
the fact that he caught it at all is impressive, because, again, they only played 25 seconds of that overtime at all. Anyway, so despite all the fuckery, I think the big take-home here is that all these goals, and, like, and okay, I guess you probably don't want to count Charlie Coyle as depth scoring at this point, but in the past that's usually been the case. Anyway, they scored six goals. None of them were Pasternak or Marchand.
Which is really unusual, especially with Philly, because Pasta loves playing against Philly.
It's one of the teams he really loves kicking that ass, yeah. Them and the Leafs, yeah.
He only had one assist.
Yeah, he assisted on Coyle's second goal. Marchand, by contrast, had two assists on Coyle's first goal and DeBrusk's second, yeah. Andrew Peak had in his, was that his first Bruins game, or did he play in the Habs game?
He played in the Habs.
Okay, so in his second Bruins game, got the primary assist on the Beecher goal.
Good job.
Andrew Peak, I mean, small sample size so far, but, like,
not bad.
Not bad. The Bruins pro scouting group are a pretty talented bunch.
Yeah, I mean, considering, was he playing with Watherspoon? For both those games? I know he was with Watherspoon last night.
He was with it would have been with Watherspoon on the against the Flyers, because Watherspoon played, and I doubt they would have been elsewhere. I think he was playing with someone else against, with the on the Habs game, though. It might have been Lowry. Box score. Let's see who the other.
Okay, last night he was.
Oh, it's hard to say who he was playing, actually.
Last night it was Shattenkirk he was with. Okay. So.
Actually, I have no idea what would have been happening on the in the Habs game, because Grizz was the scratch there. So Lowry and Watherspoon both played. So I don't even know.
All right. Well, you know what? It's not even that important. Basically, Andrew Peak is like, he's come in and he wants to play because he didn't get much time.
He's a real good skater for a guy his size.
Yeah. So he didn't get much time playing in Columbus because Columbus doesn't know what they're doing. But one of the things that he said about coming here, coming to the Bruins, was that he liked how everybody was very close knit in the locker room, and that they hate losing.
Hmm.
Those were his first impressions. They hate losing and they're very close knit, and he likes that.
Interesting. That says so much about the everything about the entire culture, top to bottom, in Columbus. That I guess they don't like each other and they don't care.
Yeah,
I don't think I would want to be that new GM trying to fix that that room.
But Rick Nash can do everything. He's not
Rick
the
Nash,
official
bitch.
Yeah. I mean, he's not the GM, but. You know,
probably yet. You probably can qualify that with a yet.
Yet.
This news that he's going to be this came out yesterday. Is he's going to be the GM for the Team Canada at the World Championships?
Yes. Yep.
Yeah. Which kind of screams this guy. It screams to me like there's a very good chance he's going to be getting the promotion, I think, here.
And the fact that the Blue Jackets are all putting forward this press release and, you know, putting in the social media, like they're really standing.
Like I've
up
seen some
hard.
People say it's like he's guaranteed to either be a GM or GM.
Yeah.
Is yeah, I know, but so it'll be basically the questions whether they end up hiring a honcho, head honcho from outside, or if they give him the full jump.
Right. PR wise, I think they would like to do that. They would love to give him the job because he's very popular, even though, you know, he went to the Rangers for a while.
Well, and I don't think anyone blamed him for what kind of wanting out at that point. I mean, who wouldn't want out after you've been a bad team for that long, and suddenly they drop James Wisniewski and Jeff Carter on you, both individuals who at particularly at the time just like carried dark clouds above them all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Particularly because how pissed Jeff Carter was to be there.
Oh,
and,
too
and
bad.
I believe Wisniewski was kind of legendarily just like an ass.
It's a shame. The fans do not deserve that. They deserve a better team than that. So hopefully their GM...
Speaking of fans that deserve better.
Ottawa? Yeah. I really was hoping that Ottawa was going to make that turn this year.
Here's the thing is where their prospect pool is now too. They should have made the turn because now they're in shit. Because there's nothing to build. All of their parts are in place and they suck.
They need coaching.
Well, and they also like try in an effort to desperately try not to have the Ottawa problem of guys wanting out at the first opportunity. They backed a dump truck of money in front of all these young players at the earliest possible opportunity. And in some cases, good choice. Stützle, oh, that's looking like a really good choice.
Mm-hmm.
The player irritates the fuck out of me, but like he's a good player and he immediately took off after signing that contract. Brady Tkachuk, he's a Tkachuk, you know. Yeah, you say what you will about them. They're good players too. The one where they clearly made a colossal mistake was doing so Josh Norris.
I was going to say Norris.
Who there was all sorts of red flags around that 30-goal season, and then he's basically played 5 games since then anyway.
Yeah, something's not right there. Yeah, and then, you know, Chychrun's there and Chychrun wants out, but they don't have a – he doesn't have a contract, right?
He's got one more year.
Yeah. You know, DeBrincat was there and he wanted out.
They've been fucking around so long that their contract to Shabbat, which was always a little rich when it was signed, is closer to running its course than not. And like, you can't really think he's going to want to stick. Let me back that up, make me sure I'm not talking out of my ass. Really? There's still 4 more years after this one on that contract? I felt like he signed it ages ago.
Felt like is ages ago.
And imagine how it feels to him.
Every time I hear his name, I want to say shalom. Shalom Shabbat.
Shalom Shabbat.
I know. Shalom Shabbat.
Domo arigato, Mr. Shabbato.
And it's just so weird to me because it's like, shouldn't that be Shabbat? But nope, it's Shabbat. It's so weird.
No, that OT sound in the French are not consistent about it.
No, they aren't. You know, like Benoit Pouliot. What?
Oh my God. Such a good point.
Because his first name and then his last name. And it's just, oh God.
No, but the first name, though, I mean, it's OIT, which is, I think that's a difference. It's just OT is a difference.
All right. But
yeah,
still,
I know.
No, we've had our discussions about French, the language. It's a little frustrating. Look, I'm not saying it's a bad language. I'm just saying it's frustrating. And when I took French, I had a hard time with it. And so then I naturally switched to German, which I had no problem with.
Anyway, there the Sens are a team that starting next year are going to have 1, 2, 3, 4 players making over $8 million a year, and one making only $50,000 less than $8 million for the foreseeable future, and they suck. It's not a good way to be. Now, here's the thing about that: most of those players, if they try to do a major restructure, most of those players, with the exception of Norris, are probably are incredibly movable. But the ones that aren't Norris aren't really the ones you want to move.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Tkachuk, Stützle, Shabbat, and Sanderson.
But wouldn't it be funny to have both Tkachuks on the same team?
Oh, fuck.
Hi, Julie.
Love that so much.
Hi, Julie.
Night.
Good night, Dr. Julie. She can't hear me. It's okay.
I'm just shocked that the Senators thought Korpisalo was their answering goal.
I know. Didn't you see any of his work up until now?
I'm just baffled. It's like, why did it take 5 years and $4 million a pop to sign him too? Like, I understand it was not an ears thing, but it wasn't even that shallow a market. Like, it wasn't a good market, but there was a lot of choices.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And they signed him to that contract.
On the other hand, did you hear that Jack Campbell took $25 million to not even watch rebounds anymore? It's hilarious. It really is. What the fuck is up with Edmonton and their fucking goalies? Like, why are their goalies so weird and bad?
I mean, like, then it's just always, well, so one of the things they keep doing is they buying, at least for the longest time, they had a bad habit of buying a guy, of finding the guy that had been a journeyman, had had like one or two great seasons as someone's backup, and then signed him. Sometimes that worked out okay for them. Cam Talbot, for example, was a reasonably successful story. But other than that, you know, they just, Jack Campbell with Ben Scrivens. Could go on, but yeah, it just gets uglier. Oh. Victor Fast.
What about Koskinen when he was signed as the last official act by Peter Chiarelli?
It's just the most embarrassing thing as an organization possible. Why? And then the hilarious, oh, we were going to sign him anyway. Where are you now? Where are you now?
Okay, so let's get back to the Senators. The Senators yes. are
so the Senators, they're bad. They're bad. And Pasternak and Brazo took it upon themselves to demonstrate this.
Oh, man.
With enthusiasm yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Yep. First of all, Brazo was robbed of a goal last week. So I'm glad to see him get an extra one last night.
Oh, and that led, yeah, the one that got waved off last week was bullshit, too.
It was.
Now, was it what it was his last night? One of the ones that the Sens should have challenged and then for some reason didn't?
Yeah, they didn't. Yeah. It was a little iffy as to whether it was onside. It honestly, to me, it looked like it could have been offsides, but they didn't challenge it. So it's a goal. Their coach, they flashed onto him. He just looked confused. Like he didn't know where he was or what was happening.
I mean, like Jacques Martin's getting on in years.
Well, okay, I'm not trying to make an Alzheimer's joke. I'm just trying to say,
I mean,
like,
I did, and that was kind of bad of me. I actually feel a little bad. That was not very nice of me. Sorry. But anyway.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm just saying, like, you know, it's like, it's kind of like the Andrew Brunette thing where it's like, dude always looks like, I hope nobody notices that I'm here because I just kind of walked in off the street and now I'm coaching a team.
I'm actually just... Three toddlers in a trench coat.
Oh, that's the Nesson broadcast. Not the broadcast team, just the people who do the broadcast. but yeah, so I don't understand why he didn't challenge that because he probably would have won that challenge. Because we know how these things go, especially with the Bruins. But it really did look offside, but he didn't try. And they continued on. And good for Brazo for getting that one. Yeah, so 5 goals between the two of them. I love seeing the hat trick. Oh, it's been a while since we've seen a pasta trick.
That bear thing that someone threw on the ice? Like, wow.
The first thing I thought when I saw that, and when he there was a picture of him on it, was Midsummer. Which is not a movie that I look upon fondly, but it's usually the joke is don't let VA choose the movie.
Yeah, like
it really
he's
is
like just great, and he's at 44 goals now. Like he's gonna make 50, and he's gonna make 50 and not win the Richard, not even close, because Matthews just, you know, went off this season.
Yeah, he's got 55 right now, maybe more.
Matthews could get 70.
He could, and I will be very. I hate that. I hate it.
I
fucking hate it.
I don't like his mustache. That's it.
It's creepy looking.
Yeah.
I don't like mustaches on their own generally. Some people, they have a nice mustache, but most of the time I don't like mustaches. I like beards.
I don't realistically think Matthews is going to hit 70 mark. That's 15 of tall ask in the number of goals left. But then there are games left. But
yeah. Crazier things have happened.
Anyway, Pastrnak's going to get he's going to probably break 50, and he's currently only fourth in goals scored. What a season.
Yeah, is McDavid above him?
No. No, oh, McDavid wow. isn't even in the top 10.
What?
Well, remember he was hurt and was dog shit for a while.
Okay.
It's Matthews, Reinhardt, Hyman, Pastrnak.
Pasta has 99 points. 44 goals, 55 assists. Right, yep, now.
He's also fourth in points in the league. He is not particularly close to anyone above him. But, you know, it's fine.
Amazing.
I mean, you could argue the year he's having this year is more impressive than the one he had last year, based on he has to do so much more for this team this year.
Well, as you said, this is his team to put on his back this year. And he's doing it. I mean, he's freaking outscoring Brad by 38 points.
Yep, I was just looking at that.
He's outscoring Brad by one James Van Riemsdyk.
Oh.
And Brad is just sitting on 399 goals. He's just sitting on it. When's it going to happen, Brad? I mean, overall.
Meanwhile, Pasta last night passed Cam Neely for in the most goals scored as a Bruin list.
Well, this is his 10th year, Pasta. I couldn't believe it when he posted that
and
Instagram
he's
post.
He's like, probably hits 1,000 within the net before he's 30.
I love him so much, my sweet little angel baby.
Such an entertaining and fun and good person.
Yeah, you want him to succeed.
Well, that's just it. Like he's just so ridiculous, which is just wonderful.
Oh, and he's girl dad now. That's what's awesome. Amazing. Who scored the other goal last night?
Boqvist.
Boqvist. Oh my god, that fourth line, three goals.
Boqvist is fast. Yep. He's very fast.
He makes up for the speed that Brazeau does not have. But Brazeau has the hands.
Mm-hmm.
Now so, they just
so
need
also
the fists.
Incidentally, and again, talking depth here, in terms of, you know, of various bargain basement pickups who participated in the scoring yesterday, of course, you had Brazeau, Shattenkirk had three assists. Shattenkirk had a great night, which is nice to see when you're, you know, fighting for your life to hold on to a roster spot. Kiki had an assist. Heinen had an assist. Yeah, just but and then of course Boqvist, all tons of, with the exception of JVR, all the bargain pickups doing the thing, which is pretty nice.
That's not to say JVR's been awful this year. Just kind of
he started pretty strong and
he's fading.
He faded hard.
Yeah.
Well,
I wonder with Shattenkirk, because I think he plays well in most of the games he plays. I wonder, speaking of age, but age and size are catching up with him, where he just doesn't have the stamina to go play at a pretty high level all year long.
Yeah, I think.
I thought they were going to manage his load a little bit more, but with Forbert being constantly in and out, or mostly out of the lineup, I think that was hard.
Shattenkirk's in an interesting position because, like, odds on, Peak is probably going to take that three right D spot in the playoffs. So, like, Shattenkirk is fighting with two other players to play his offside, who two lefties to play three left D. Now, like, I don't know how that's going to play out, to be honest, because, like, Peak and Wotherspoon, it's a little redundant. And Lowry, I don't think I trust Lowry in the playoffs yet. There's a lot good there, but
he just needs to
unpredictable.
Learn
predictable.
For the love of God, don't deke standing still at the top of any blue line.
Mm-hmm.
And he could probably get away with that in college. I can get away with that playing C2 hockey, but in the NHL, probably not.
Mm-hmm.
He does that so much. And I feel so odd criticizing an NHL player when I'm not.
This is what we do.
It's true. His angle and his positioning, basically, when he's defending a one-on-one, is not very good. But that can be taught. Getting rid of that bad habit of just doing a bit too much with the puck at either end of the blue line, that can be taught.
Well, I said, remember, he only started playing defense when he was 15.
I didn't realize that.
Hmm.
So that's cool. I think, yeah. I mean, that's kind of late, but better late than never.
Yeah, he converted late. Like, I remember, like, that was always a defense of Malcolm Subban for the longest time. He became a goaltender really late. And sometimes that argument doesn't fly, but...
Yeah. My point is, if I definitely think he's the number one left D next year.
Speaking of really? Number one lefties, Grizz has been playing a lot better lately, which is nice to see.
That is nice.
Either he's over the injury or...
Or as I saw someone tweet had both Ullmark and DeBrusca photoshopped into the and I took that personally meme. Mm-hmm. I'm like, well, maybe Grizz belongs there too.
Yeah. You know, I think it's really curious. The Pucks and Pups calendar is usually, it's done really well where they will put the players on expiring deals earlier in the calendar.
Mm-hmm.
So like this year, like last year, Carlo is I believe December because he's not expiring. But I think that January was Grizzlick.
Oh.
And Forbert was like, you know, I think he was February. So yeah. So basically I think we all know that Riz is not coming back, so he's got to make the best of what he's got right now with this team.
I'd say he's having a rough year, and he's playing to land a $4 million deal somewhere.
Mm-hmm. But I'm glad that he's playing better, but
maybe we saw with Krug when he left. You know, smaller guys start losing smaller defensemen start losing a step. It's a problem. Big defensemen can fudge it by becoming stay-at-home but by becoming stay-at-home shot blockers. Mm-hmm. For a bit until they lose too much, but smaller guys don't have that luxury.
Yeah,
I was with a big guy, yes, you need to be able to keep up and skate, but if your reach is super long, you just gap control, you're gonna focus on your gap control, and you can easily overcome your slower skating.
You can buy yourself a season or two of career that way, but yeah. You lose a step as a mobile smaller guy, regardless whether you're a true puck mover or not. Which of course Grizz is not. Mm-hmm. He's a mobile defensive D is probably the best way of putting it. Who isn't? It's rough to see. It's mm-hmm. unfortunate. I'm a big Grizz guy, and it's time.
Anyway, good win last night. Loved it because. So many times the Bruins don't always show up to play against these lesser teams. When it comes to the Philly game, I don't know if it was just they started a little slow or something, or if it was, I don't know. Philly's just playing better than they should. Right? Isn't that what it is?
I think Swayman allowed a couple he shouldn't have. And I think if you were to focus on one thing with the Bruins, big surprise, center depth isn't that good, and their centers are kind of slow. So if you can focus on that aspect of the game, that's, I don't want to say an Achilles heel, but it can be exploited.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm going to change the subject a little bit. Why was Sheldon Keefe big mad about Sean Couturier being scratched against the Leafs?
Well, no. So he wasn't big mad about that. Someone inexplicably asked him and also some Leafs, because like that tweet I shared had a quote from Matt Canais first.
Oh, yeah.
And then like in both of them, well, they're going to be playing tough. It's like, why is anyone fucking asking you guys about this?
Okay.
Unless the Flyers were told put up a freaking no murder or Torch will skin you alive and make a rug out of you. Which, to be fair, playing for Torch is probably one of those cases where absolutely an omerta applies to anything you say to the media.
Mm-hmm.
Not quite to the playing for Lou situation in that regard, but you know, that's because you know, you do that with Lou, you'll wake up in a dumpster, and that's just the warning.
He is from Rhode Island and his name ends in a vowel. That's all I'm gonna say.
I said your first warning, you wake up in a dumpster. The second warning,
You don't wake up.
you wake up with the dumpster in
Oh,
Sometimes you're in the dumpster, sometimes a dumpster is you.
been watching The Sopranos again lately, and so I really enjoy us talking about dumpsters and Italians.
Hey, Buddy Cianci one time used state troopers to come and beat up the boyfriend of his ex-wife.
Oh, damn. That's pretty clever and
Yeah, that's why
evil.
it's like that's why when you watch him in the Family Guy, the fact that the high school is named after Buddy Cianci is a pretty awesome, like low-key Rhode Island joke that no one outside of Rhode Island has ever gotten while watching that show. There's a few others like that. That's the one that always stands out to me the most.
And you know he was he had to serve time for that, and then he got elected again because there was no law saying he couldn't run for election and get elected again. They then amended it after, but he was already incumbent at that point, so it didn't really affect him. So the Buddy Cianci story is just fascinating. It really is. I think there's a book out there. I think it was written by a before a reporter for the Providence Journal, and it's called The Prince of Providence. I do recommend reading it because he is a guy who is larger than life, and he did a lot of great things for Providence. He really sincerely loved Providence, but he was also never really on the up and up. But it, amazing, amazing. And and you know that I'm glad in his final years he just was like, I'm not wearing the toupee anymore. That guy wore toupee for like 50 years. You know, at some point, just admit it. Just admit you don't need it. But anyway, hey, I'm a proud Rhode Islander here in Rhode Island.
Coming to you live from Rhode
I am
Island.
coming to you live from Newport, Rhode Island. It's true.
Listener, she is not in fact live to you, of course, because this is a podcast, not a radio broadcast. But
True, 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 true. But you know what? Everybody can just imagine it's live. It's fine. I'm okay with that. And my good friend Todd Angeli told me one time that you know, where he's from in Rhode Island, they don't consider us to be Rhode Island. And I said to him, "Oh, Todd, really, I am the most Rhode Island because I grew up on what
an island.
the U.S. Geological Survey called Rhode Island. We call it a Aquidneck, but you know, Rhode Island." And then the rest was Providence Plantations, but you're not allowed to say that anymore because of stuff. So yes, so I am Rhode Islander. I am from Rhode Island. Deal with it.
That reminds me, I was bidding on a piece of crap Audi in Rhode Island, and some moron paid over $10,000 for it, and I'm happy to report it wasn't me.
Good for you.
Yeah, I was like, oh, you're dumb. You're dumb, dude. You're dumb. But
I mean, why were you?
it was black and yellow.
Black and yellow,
And
black and yellow, black and yellow,
so
black
would
and
you have
yellow.
just had three cars, or would you have divested the I don't know what you would have done, because like one of your Volkswagens is the utilitarian one. It's the bigger wagon, right? For for moving and stuff around. So would you have just done three cars then?
Yes.
At a certain point, I feel like that's going to cause you insurance problems.
Well, believe me, that one would get the bare minimum for North
Oh, okay.
Carolina.
Just your liability and call it a day. Okay.
Because, oh, anyone who want to look it up, it was an Audi S4 convertible. Awful shape. Low mileage, but it was someone really liked driving it. But it was black and yellow, like in particular, Bruins yellow from Rhode Island. I had no choice, but I had to bid on it. But yeah, I got outbid very quickly. I'm like, this is, that guy's going to cry when the timing chains need to be replaced in 10,000 miles.
What year was it?
2008. It's basically, yeah, okay. It went for seven, but it, I could tell it needed about $3,000 in work right away. So it's a $10,000 car. Cars and bids. Audi S4. There, yeah, 2008. Wow, I'm good.
Interesting.
Anyway, it's a...
Yeah.
It's a very ugly car.
Okay. Well, I'm glad that you didn't spend that money on the really ugly car. So good for you. And next time I'll be looking for another ugly Audi for you if you would like. But I just want to tell you one other Rhode Island thing that I saw today, and then we'll move on. I was walking the many dogs today, and I walked down this one street, and I saw two Hyundai Santa Fes parked back to back.
Ooh.
And they each had the same license plate. Only on the back. Upon further examination, they didn't have front plates, and I'm like, "Ooh, how long are you gonna get away with this?"
Oh yeah, you guys, that's a front plate state.
We're front and back typically, yeah. But you do have, if you don't have your front plate on, you put it in your windshield. So
yeah,
so that's fun. I don't know how long they're gonna get away with this, but okay, sure. Yeah. All right, so the Bruins, they are gonna play some more games starting tomorrow night.
Yes, so tomorrow night, that would be March 21st, they play 7 p.m Eastern time at home against the Rangers.
Ooh, that's so fun. No, it's not. They've had such a tough time against the Rangers.
Yeah, those Rangers games have been ugly.
And the Rangers have won more games than them. But they've also lost more games than them. But yeah, that's not going to be a fun game. I really, but it's the only one this year that the Bruins get to play at home, right? Or did they play at home? The other one, I don't know. They're playing at home. It might be different.
Anyway, and then they go off on a bit of a road trip, starting off with the 23rd, 1 p.m. Eastern time. Oh, fuck. Why are there so many matinees this year?
So, not only... I typically like the Manatee games when I can watch them, and this, of course, is on NHL Network.
Anyway, oh my God. Eastern time at the Flyers.
That is dumb. I can't watch that either.
Yeah.
I don't think. Unless YouTube TV has NHL Network.
It's still on NESN.
Oh, it is on NESN?
Yeah. I have the online deal. So if it's on any national network, which the NHL Network is, blocked out for me. And when they play the Hurricanes.
Well, you can listen on the radio.
I will.
So, or, I mean, online streaming, 98.5 Sports Hub.
I mean, if he spent enough time fiddling with AM, he could probably get something from Boston in.
That's how I followed my games all through middle school and early high school.
And then
they followed with a back-to-back in Florida next week, 7 p.m. Eastern time on the Tuesday the 26th against the Florida Fancy Cats. And then 7:30 p.m. Eastern the next night in Tampa,
which is a TNT game.
Ugh, fuck. I mean, I probably can watch that one, yeah. But
I was going to say TNT's basic cable, so, but...
Well, yeah, I mean, I think we get TNT here because I'm not at home. So I'm doing what I can do. I watched last night's game on my phone because I could do that. So if I can watch the NHL Network game on NESN, then I can watch it on my phone. So it'll be fine. I'm not subjecting my sister-in-law to that.
So I'm not talking about this time range yet, but like, April 6th is a really fucking weird time. 3:30 p.m. Eastern.
Oh, they do that in April. It's so frustrating.
Against, yeah, Florida at Boston, 3:30.
I hate that. And then sometimes they'll move up the time, too. Because it'll be like, oh, no, we've decided we wanted to move it up to, like, 2:30. And that's an even dumber time.
It's probably because also Nesson and the Red Sox.
Or it could be an ABC game where ABC stacks three games on a Saturday. So
it's like well-intentioned, but you end up with weird shit.
Yeah, because those like start one game at 1, but it doesn't really start at 1. And then the 3:30 doesn't really start at 3:30. And then, you know. Ugh, I hate it.
The Red Sox aren't even in Boston on the 6th though. They're out west, so that their game wouldn't start until 10 or so, whatever the fuck it is.
Yeah.
Anyway. We'll get to that when we get to it. So,
yes.
There's your next three games, folks. Four games. Rags, Flyers, Cats, Bolts.
I don't have a lot of faith that they'll win that game against the Rags. The Flyers? I think so. And the Fancy Cats? Fancy I think so.
I think it's the Fancy Cats and the Bolts are both rolling right now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, I know. They're getting hot at the right time, right?
Yeah.
Hmm. I know another team that should get hot at this time. And maybe they are. Who knows? That would be the Bruins, not mm-hmm. the Senators. Not the Sabres. Definitely not the Red Wings.
Oh.
I know. So, all right. I mean, well,
so far the Bruins are 6-2-1 on the month, which is like pretty solid.
It is very good because they came back from the All-Star break and they were terrible. Yeah, it was garbage. It was garbage time. Garbage time the month. So I'm glad that they're doing really well this month. And I think they're, you know what? I don't know how they're going to play against Tampa Bay, but I think they're going to put up a good fight for the Panthers. And if they don't win it outright, then it'll be an overtime win. That's what I'm saying. I have faith. Yes. Okay. So is there anything that we have to report on injuries? LTRs. My name is Derek Forbert. Pat Maroon may never play for the Bruins. And okay, that's fine. I don't really care.
The only other thing is the passes news. Minor league goalie activity the last couple of days. They re-signed Michael DiPietro to a 1-year two-way.
Yep.
And P. Bruins signed one of the top NCAA free agent goalies in Ryan Bixel from the from Notre Dame to an AHL deal.
Okay. All right. We'll see how that goes in the future, but he's presumably there now. I guess Notre Dame's not in any tournaments, huh?
No. Seems we just, you know, cleaned him out. Between Bixel and Bavaro.
Right. That would be the key thing. Right. All right. Well, we'll be coming back to you next week, I guess, with more hot Bruin stuff.
Yeah. That sounds
weird. I don't know. I'm tired. Okay, so, we're all tired. Let's wrap this show up.
So listeners, you're listening to Barely on Topic. You can find us wherever your favorite podcasts are found. You can follow us on Facebook. That's at Barely on Topic Podcast. Or on Twitter at Barely on Topic. And of course, our individual Twitter accounts. I, for one, am at Dr. Hengrenade.
I am at Tim A. Richardson.
I am at Nick Baggio.
And I am at Never Let Me Pick the Movie.edu.
Oh.
Also known as that VA from RI.
Yes. And Queen of Pies everywhere else.
Thank you.